Stand with us if you like and turn to 162. Let's do the first, third, and the fourth. First, third, and the fourth.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruler for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith.
Well, I don't want to neglect to do this. I want to give a special welcome today to Sister Emily's new baby boy, Connor Trent. He's here for his first service today. And I pray that he will be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to share some scripture with you today from the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to read just a short lesson, just a couple of verses from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 for a scripture reading today. And I really want you to pray for me today as I try to bring out the thoughts that the Lord has given me. I believe this may be somewhat of a difficult message, and I want to ask your prayers. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And I'm going to stop my reading there with verse 16 and 17 of Jeremiah chapter 6. I want to speak to you today about walking in the old paths. And I believe that perhaps today, I don't know this to be true, but based on past experience, perhaps today there may be some of these things that I have to say that you may have to take them with you and consider them, and I pray that you will do that. Some of the things I say today, I don't know, they may bother you, but if they do, I want you to please take them and consider them, because I believe that we ought to always be in search of scriptural truth. And so I want to say in the beginning that as we think about walking in the old paths, and I want to think about, you know, we live in the days of what's often called the church age. We live in the days of the church. And as Brother Dallas said this morning, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, the ideas that many people have about the old economy, the old Mosaic economy being reestablished, and national Israel being reestablished, I just don't believe that's Bible. I don't believe that's going to happen. We are living in the last days, and one of these days the Lord's going to come, and he's going to take us home to be with him, and he's going to bring an end to time, and that's going to be it, and his doors of mercy are going to be closed, and it's going to be over. The world's going to be over. And so I want us to think about, the reason I said that is because I want us to think about walking in the old paths in the day in which we live. How does the church, these verses that I have read before you today, they were written during the days of national Israel, but we don't have to figure out today how to walk in the old paths as national Israel. We have to know how to walk in the new paths as spiritual Israel, as the Lord's church. And so we need to, and I believe that it's of utmost importance that we do that. I believe it, I consider it to be extremely important that we walk in the old paths, that we continually seek them out, and that we be willing to walk in them. But in order for us to be able to do that, we have to understand what they are. And I'm afraid that perhaps sometimes that's where we struggle. to understand really what the old paths are, because we sometimes, by our own invention, I believe that we may have a tendency to broaden the path and actually require something perhaps that the Lord did not. And so I want to speak about the old paths according to the Lord. And I'm going to make a statement today. I believe that in order for as far as written documentation, as far as that which has been written down, I believe that the church would truly only need one set of instructions to completely function as a church. I'm holding it right here in my hands. I'm convinced that this is all that we really need to function as a church and to know how to walk in the old paths. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not thankful for some things that have been done, and I believe that God has blessed things that have been done. But without J.M. Pendleton's manual, without any commentaries, without any written creeds, without any hymnal books, we could worship from this book right here. We could, with nothing else, we could maintain the worship that we do if we didn't have access to anything but this. You believe that? You know, the problem is, if you don't believe that, then you would have to say that Jesus left us inadequate to worship Him, because the Scriptures are all that He gave us. And there have been other things that have been written, and like I said, I'm not speaking against them. I'm thankful. I believe they've been a help to us. You know, you may think about what I said, and you may say, well, Brother Miller, how could we sing songs from week to week? How could we come here and worship and sing spiritual songs from week to week if we didn't have any song books? How could we do that? Well, I can tell you a book in here where there's 150 beautiful songs. 150 of them. And they were some of the best written hymns. They were some of the best written songs that have ever been written. David wrote most of them under inspiration. And they're beautiful. And the lyrics of them are beautiful. And so, truly, the Lord gave us everything, as far as I said, what is written. And His Word, along with the leadership of His Holy Spirit, is all that we truly need to worship the Lord according to the truth. Now, and I believe that we all realize this, and I don't believe there's anybody here today that would debate this. But we, as a church, and I'm talking about right now, this individual church, Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, as a church, we have traditional practices. Traditional practices. We have things that we have adopted that are our traditional practices. And I want to speak perhaps maybe especially to those that are here today that are young Christians, because if you've never been anywhere else, or if you've never been a member of any other church other than Fairview Memorial, you may not realize this, but that our sister churches, we as individual churches, we all have individual traditional practices. You know, one church will have something that another church doesn't have. I know this for certain, having been a pastor and having been lived in different states and in different places, that one church may have a tradition that they practice that another church does not. And those are not the things that establish us. And if we're not really careful, if we are not very careful and very observant, we will become guilty of allowing traditions, walking in traditions. We will confuse that with walking in the old paths. And those things are different from each other. And I want to try to prove that here today. And I asked Brother Dallas this question before service started because I didn't want to misquote him. And so I had him confirm this to me. Some of you may remember this as well as I do, but a while back, Brother Dallas testified to us that when he first began to attend the church here at Fairview Memorial, that he was a little bit hesitant at first because of some of those traditional things that he witnessed. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we allow those traditional things to bother us when a lot of times they shouldn't. You know, a lot of times we'd be better off not to allow those things to bother us, but we do. And so we don't want to confuse what the Bible tells us here about walking in the old paths. We don't want to confuse that with the keeping of our traditions, even if they're good traditions. And I'm not today, and I want to be well understood in this message today, because I'm not knocking our traditions, but I'm saying that they are traditions, even if they are good traditions, which I believe most of them to be, they are still traditions, traditional practices. And there are, you know, we are a diverse congregation here. And we come from different areas, and we come from different churches. And when I look out today, and I'm sure that I'm not going to get all of them, but when I look out today, I realize that there are people here that come from, grew up among the churches in Edmondson County, and that grew up among the churches in Monroe County, and I grew up among the churches in Indianapolis. And so we come from different places and different backgrounds, but I want to tell you something. The old paths were not established in Edmondson County. The old paths were not established in Monroe County. The old paths were not established in Indianapolis. They were established in the days of Christ. And they were not established, and sometimes when we think about the old paths, sometimes where we err is we don't go back far enough. We think about the old paths and we go back to our parents or to our grandparents, but what we need to do is we need to go all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one that established the pattern and the paths that we are to walk. Now, I'm going to say something else here. You notice that we have a church covenant hanging on the wall over here, but and we have in our minutes, we have in the front of our association minutes, we have our confession of faith, the confession of faith that we have adopted, the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. But we cannot declare that we are walking in the old paths because we have adopted the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. We can't declare that we're walking in the old paths because we have adopted this particular church covenant. That's not what establishes us. That is not what causes us to walk in the old paths. We've got to go deeper than that. We've got to go to the Word of God. We've got to follow the Scriptures. And we can't declare ourselves to be walking in the old paths because of the type of songs that we sing. I know a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people, folks, listen, sometimes I'm just going to be honest about it, and I'm not trying today to preach a reactionary sermon. I don't like that type of preaching. But I'm going to say today that sometimes I believe that we allow traditional things to take us too far. Too far. When in 1768, in Spotsylvania County, Virginia, there were some Baptist preachers that were arrested. It's believed to have been the first actual imprisonment that took place there in the state of Virginia. James Child, Lewis Craig, John Waller, there were five of them all together that they were apprehended there in the churchyard, and they were taken to court and they were taken to jail in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And history records this about them, that as they were being moved from the courthouse to the jail, that as they were being transported, that they sang the song, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction." Anybody know that song? I don't believe that's in our books, is it, Brother Strode? "Broad is the road that leads to destruction." I have no clue what that song was like. I have no clue what type of style that they sang it in. I don't know. I'm convinced that as they made their way there, I'm convinced that as they were transporting them to that jail there, and they were singing that song, that they didn't have somebody playing a piano as they went along. And I believe they were, no doubt, they were probably in a wagon, and they were singing, "Broad is the road that leads to death." And I have no clue what that song was like. Sometimes we are completely afraid of any type of change at all. But you know what? If you read the history of the Lord's church, the traditional things that we practice have changed and changed and changed and changed down through the years. The Baptist churches from which we came, those particular Baptist churches in 1600 England, I assure you, they were not singing from the Heavenly Highway hymns. They were not singing Southern gospel songs. And we, as I said, oftentimes we are afraid of anything that seems to be any different type of change. Someone may stand up and they may sing a song, and somebody says, "Oh my goodness, that's not the type of song that we normally sing. We're going to stray." But let me tell you something, friends. The type of songs that you and I are singing today, we are singing those songs because somewhere along the line, we changed. We changed. We don't continue to sing the songs that were sung in the 1700s and the 1600s. We changed. I've heard people, there are some of our churches that have made changes to the church covenant. There were things that as an individual church, they felt like needed to be better defined, and they made those changes. And some have taken up arms and said, "Oh my goodness, we can't change the church covenant. We're going astray if we do something like this." Well, let me tell you something. The men that wrote this covenant, that committee that met there in the New Hampshire Convention in the early 1830s and wrote this covenant, you know what they did when they wrote it? They changed it. They changed it. Go read the history about it. The prior, this was not the first Baptist covenant to ever be written. The first, the men that formed the committee that wrote this covenant, they felt like that it was time for a change. They felt like the things that they believed in their particular churches were not being expressed in the Baptist covenants that then existed. And so they said, "It's time for a change, and we would not have the covenant that we have today had somebody not made the change." You see, the point that I'm making is this, that things according to tradition change. They change. And when we're facing change, rather than being afraid of it, we need to examine it. And we need to make sure that it's a good change. And if it's not, then we don't need to change. And if it is good, then we don't need to be afraid to change, because changes take place. And those are not the things that establish us. Those are not the things that we have to have. Let me tell you something. I've been in, when I was doing mission work in Virginia back in the early 80s, I have been in churches that had this same church covenant hanging on the wall. Do you know that's available to anybody that wants to adopt it? It's available to any type of assembly that wants to adopt it. Do you know that the Heavenly Highway Hymn songbooks, they're available to anybody that wants to buy them and use them? Sure they are. We all understand that. I saw once in a church that I was in Virginia that they had this same church covenant on their wall. I mean, word for word, the exact church covenant on their wall that we have today. And I would not have recognized those people as a church in any way. I'm sorry, I would not have. So that doesn't establish us, does it? That's not, those are not the things, they're a help to us. But they're not the things that establish us as the church. And we need to be careful not to judge. You know, we need to be careful not to judge somebody being unsound because they're a little bit different in man-made traditions. When we examine anything, whether it's something here at our church or whether it's something at our other, at another church, when we examine anything, we need to examine it in light of God's word, not in light of man's traditions. We need to make sure that it's right according to the scriptures. And I'll tell you what, really, when you think about it, walking in the old paths falls within narrow limits. It really does. I'll talk about some of those things. These things that I've talked about so far, and I'm afraid that sometimes and oftentimes this scripture is very misused. But Solomon said, and it's recorded in Proverbs 22:28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." But these things I've talked about, none of these things existed when the Lord set the landmarks for His church, did they? They are things that we have adopted along the way. I like them. I believe that there are good things. I believe that we have good practices. I believe, and it's already been spoken about this morning, I like the mourner's bench up here. I believe it's a good tradition, but folks, listen, the truth is that it is a tradition. It's a tradition. The Baptist didn't always use them. There is a point in time where the Baptist churches began to have the mourner's benches. And so I love to see people come up here and bow down and seek the Lord. But I'll tell you what I'm most concerned with. I'm a lot more concerned whether or not they do it on a bench. I'm a lot more concerned with the fact that we continue to teach and preach to sinners that they must really be born again. I like to hear people getting saved wherever they get saved. If they get saved on the mourner's bench, or if they get saved in their bedroom, or if they get saved in their car, wherever they get saved. The fact is, and folks, listen, don't ever think that a church couldn't put benches up in front of their church and still deceive people, because they do. They do. And I'll tell you what, when you go looking for the truth, you better look further than furniture. You better listen to what's being taught there, because and when you go, well, I had a church where I pastored, a young lady moved away to another state. And, these are the type of things that can happen if we get too steeped in tradition. She moved to another state with her job. And so her mother went there to look for a church for her, you know, to help her to look for a church that she might find a good church, a truthful church that she could go to. And she told me this later. She said, she admitted this later because she did get over it. But she said, you know, her daughter started going to this church that she thought maybe they were really on track. She liked what she was hearing. And her mom said, I went there to visit her, and we went on Sunday morning. We went to that church, and she said, I was alarmed the first time I stepped in there because I looked up front and they didn't have a mourner's bench. Well, you know what? Listen, folks, the fact that they didn't have one doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't preaching the truth. Now, does it? It's a good tradition, but we need to remember that that's what it is. The problem I have is with people that tell people all they've got to do is accept the Lord. All they've got to do is make a decision. That's the problem I have. It's the teaching. I'll tell you what I believe keeps us in the old path more than anything. It's not following traditions. It's following the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrines that he laid down for the church. That's what keeps us in the old path. And I said that they fall within narrow limits, and I believe they do. I believe they fall within this. I believe they fall within the limits of a church preaching the truth and telling people the truth about what they've got to do in order to be saved. And don't believe this watered down garbage that's being preached today. People need to hear the truth about being saved. And we need to maintain the ordinances the way that the Lord established them and the way that he intended them. Don't take the Lord's Supper with everybody in the world. Amen. That's wrong. That was an ordinance given for the Lord's church. Amen. You know, keep the ordinance of baptism the way that the Lord designed it. Let me tell you something. If you go away somewhere and you leave me in charge of your house and you say, I want you to watch over my house while I'm away, you give me the key and you say, you know, you can enter in to my house with this key and I want you to maintain and watch over my house while I'm away, you know, when you give me the key to do that and authorize me to go in and watch over your house, that doesn't mean that you give me the right to take out your bathtub and put in a shower. And folks, let me tell you something. Nobody ever had the right to change baptism from immersion to sprinkling. They never had the right. They did it. Many of them have did it, but they never had the right. And they never had the right to give the ordinance of baptism to just anybody that wanted it either. We must be able to produce a testimony of having passed from death unto life before we are fit subjects for baptism. And, listen, let me tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, the scriptural requirements for baptism, if you want a baptism to be scriptural, you've got to have the proper candidate, you've got to have the proper authority, you've got to have the proper administrator, and you've got to have enough water to immerse that person under the water. And that's all that the Lord requires. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. That's just personal preference. In my personal preference, I would rather go to the creek. That's just my personal preference. But you know what? As long as we have enough water to immerse the person, the baptism in the baptistry is just as scriptural as it is anywhere else. I like Southern gospel singing. That's my preference. That's my favorite. But you know what? Anything that varies from that doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it wrong. It's just different. It's different. Sometimes I think we need a little bit of diversity. I sure do. Well, I had a thought there and I lost it. You cannot declare a church to be sound or unsound, scriptural or unscriptural, by the name on their church sign. United Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Baptist is not enough to declare whether that church is sound or not sound. If you are ever in a position where you've got to move away from here, just because you see a church that says Missionary Baptist Church, don't automatically say, "Oh, I found me a good old sound church." That may not be the case at all. I've been to them. I've been to churches that, and have known of churches that said they were Missionary Baptist churches that were as far from teaching the truth as they could have been. Preach the truth. Maintain the ordinances. Maintain discipline. Boy, we're failing the Lord there, church. We're failing the Lord. Love each other with a pure heart fervently. These are the things that Jesus required, aren't they? These are the things that He taught us in His Word that we need to do to walk in the old paths. You know what? It's right here. It's right here. Every bit of it lies within the bounds of these scriptures. We are not founded upon the foundation of our father or our grandfather or our grandmother. We are founded, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 and 20, and I'm going to close with this verse. The church, the Lord's church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm talking about in walking in the old paths, and there's so much more that I could say today, but in walking in the old paths, I'm talking about walking in the ways of the Lord and nothing short of that. Walking in the ways of the Lord, walking according to the teaching of the New Testament scriptures, the things that the Lord told us about how that the church is to function in the world. That is walking in the old paths. And we need to do it. We need to continue to do it. We need to ask for the old paths, and we need to walk in them. I'd like to ask Brother Ronnie, if he would, to lead us in a couple of songs. They're going to need a few minutes to get things ready downstairs. And so I want...